Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rabble Rousing, Rich Bergeron. Coming at you with another edition of the non-live, now quite limited combat sports radio show. Yep, it's the podcast. Anyway, I have one question for you. I just want to make sure that you're not being a menace to South Central while drinking your cocaine in the hood.
Do you get your fly yesterday?
Yes. Can you get yours?
Oh, sweet. I got
Broke
me now. Rondo. So I always think you should say broke me. Which means, Rondo, I'm the cocaine. The reason I describe him is Rondo. Now, the question I have for you.
I put the heat on them this week, believe it or not. And they said, well, we'll send you some pineapple jerky. You can do another review. And I'm like, that's not a good sign if anything's going to be good. They're all, everybody's getting, all concerned about, you know, how many sales come from what site. Like, there is an actual way to track that. There's no way to track that. These people are smoking crack.
I know. Okay. I mean, you figure.
Actually, we're making a lot of big moves. I mean, we haven't been pushing it as much as we could either. And I've just been kind of reading up on all the different tipsters out there. That Twitter, man, I can understand now. After using it for maybe about 2 months now, I want to say, at least 2 months, that it's definitely worth its weight in gold. I mean, that is the new wave of the future, Twitter. I saw on SportsCenter the other night, I mean, come on, SportsCenter is talking about Dwight Howard Twittering after the game.
Wow.
So that was a milestone for me, seeing that. And then, just the ease of use, I mean, just kind of, you get addicted to it like a BlackBerry, CrackBerry sort of thing, but, you know, if you use it the right way and you keep an eye on it and you follow the right people, they're putting tips out there or stories that are in your area, and it's just, you know, quick thinking, two sentences usually at the most, and it's right there for you with a link. And they even shorten the link, so it allows you to describe it more. So it's definitely, somebody had a bright idea when they saw that. And it's definitely popular. I mean, everybody's got tips on how to use it. I think it's definitely going to help boost the site rankings, too, the more I figure it out and get it down. And so many programs now are allowing you to connect to it. I even added a Twitter this button to, or tweet this, I guess, and I get the lingo down and everything. It's all so funky.
Well, that's a good one, and I don't know if you can use this on the Whitespace Unlimited page, but I'm sure you can on the Whitespace Online page. Things and doing videos and all that. Also, I think doing challenge predictions, the flights. I think you have to wait my prediction, but then do a brief Michelle. Put that up on my YouTube page, make the link, and you can upload it to any major network.
Yeah, actually, that's like right along the same wavelength as some of the stuff I've been reading about YouTube, too. I just great article the other day. Found it on Twitter. And it was about how YouTube is now like downloading 30 hours of video every second or something. I don't know where it was. It was something like the equivalent of a major movie studio putting out like 1,000 films every month. Those are some interesting statistics that are all probably true. And Google is using their reach and understanding of the web to add functionality to YouTube, too, in a lot of different ways, and allow anybody now to click on a link that allows them to do a webcam response to any video. So that would be perfect for predictions and that kind of thing. That's people would rather watch a video 9 times out of 10 than read it. So, do you have a webcam?
I got this in an email.
original agreement was supposed to be, we were both, you know, we were supposed to get 2 cases of each, so that's why we got the right amount.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to give a lot of mild. I do notice, though, that they are definitely highly charged with sugar. And they go right, it goes right to your teeth. I mean, you got to brush your teeth if you have 2 of them, or 1 of them, you know, right away. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, all that stuff, that's not just attaching to your tongue, that's attaching to your tooth enamel, too. And, like, you know, when you're older, you're more sensitive to it. You can feel it. Like. So you got to watch out for that. That's my one warning. If that powerful, it will take the paint off your teeth.
Yeah.
Enamel off your teeth. But, I tried it today. I mean, not tried it. Have them as a sponsor for a good amount of months now. I don't know exactly, but anyway, make a long story short, I had about 3 hours of sleep tonight, and I did 8 hours of landscaping today on 2 cocaines and a Bronco. No coffee whatsoever, a little orange juice in the morning, but that was it, other than a banana. There you have it, so it works. And I didn't even yawn. Honestly, I did not yawn one time until I got home. Sat down. I almost passed out before the show.
You almost crashed.
Yeah, I almost crashed. But I'm drinking coffee now, and we're live, so well, it's about semi-live. Live on the recording. But anyway, we've wasted 17 minutes here with us talking about combat sports, really. We have some great boxing matches coming up. I know that I've put yes, we have. Of course. And one thing I did want to mention about one of our sponsors, the science folks, you know, the one area of science that I will wholeheartedly support, and I've put links on the blog and everywhere I can think of. I want people to buy that stuff because it does not support science. They wanted me to change a little thing there, and I haven't done it yet. I did it on one site, but it was sucksite.com. It had nothing to do with combat sports, but it's there, too. And anyway, they wanted me to make sure that people know that I endorse it. I think they're getting confused, I guess. They think that you know, Zion is getting the buck somehow, and they're not. It's all old stuff. This guy is just trying to get off his hands, and he's been burnt by them, too, so. I just want to get that out there on the air, and you know, anywhere you see Zion's clothing, Zion's products advertised on any of my sites, you should know that I do not endorse the company because I'm suing them. So, get educated if you don't know. Yeah, it's funny how many people don't know. I'm that guy. That's me. But that's funny. It's kind of in limbo out there. I'm wondering what the heck the judge is doing. He's just kind of sitting on it, like waiting for an egg to hatch. But that's that. And we got some boxing coming up. And UFC, obviously. UFC is a big event this weekend. And we'll talk about that later in the second half of the show, as we always do. We're going to have a guest on tonight, before I forget, John Wilkinson, who is in favor of what sounds like kind of a funny, crazy, arranged whole alphabet soup thing to correct the alphabet soup problem in boxing. But we'll let him explain it a little later on, and try to get him on the phone between 8:30 and 9 here. But right off the bat, we're looking here at Box Rec, and looks like the first big thing is tonight out at Arco Arena in Sacramento, California, with a 10-round lightweight fight. That looks pretty good. Between Kevin Kelly, 69, versus Vicente Escobedo, 29. I think we talked about that last week. Anyway, so that one, let's see. I know there's a great Friday night fight card. there's at least one guy on there that I want to see fight. But also we have, for the vacant Italian Cruiserweight title, we got a couple undefeated guys going at each other over there in Italy. Christian Dolzanelli, 15-0, and Salvatore Eridu, 15-0. Both 15-0. One of the Dolzanelli guy that has got 10 knockouts. Salvatore's 6. And Dolzanelli does have a tie. So that may be the equalizer there. Who knows? And there's an 8-2 guy there fighting a 14-2 guy, 6-round light heavyweight. Nothing special there. New guys. We go down to Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico, for a 10-round super bantamweight fight on Friday night, thrown by Elite Boxing Promotions. And it's Antonio Meza, 24-5, with 16 knockouts, versus Antonio Margarito, Jorge Cardenas, 12-7. Kind of a mismatch. I don't know if I call it a mismatch, but we can't. It's rough. 12-7 with 7 knockouts to a guy who got 24 wins with 16 knockouts. 10 rounds there. And we had a 12-2 Jesus fight. Jesus fight alert. Jesus Navarro. 12-2 versus a 1-3 fighter. Mismatch central down there. Baja California, Mexico. And then a 15-1, this is a mismatch card, a 6-round bantamweight fight, a 15-1 fighter with 10 knockouts, Alejandro Martinez versus another Jesus. Jesus fight of the week, too. Jesus is going to need Jesus. His record is 1-1-1. He's had every type of outcome. One win, one loss, and one draw versus a guy who's only had one loss and one draw and 15 wins. God love him, because he's Jesus. Then we go to Namibia. We go all the way to Namibia. We got some stuff going on all over the world. This is actually a very well-matched card, believe it or not. Namibians know how to do it. And one of the fights is for the vacant WBO Africa welterweight title. And it's appropriate. There's no Asians involved. I don't think so. 12-round welterweight fight between Ali Bembe, 21-4, winning knockouts with one draw, versus Lucky Zuele, 25-5 with 18 knockouts. And I'm betting Lucky is not as given an African name. Then we have Wilberforce Shehepo, 12-5 with 10 knockouts versus David Kachuke, 10-1 with 9 knockouts. And that's for the vacant WBO Africa Super Middleweight title. And then we have a 10-round lightweight fight between a couple guys. Only a handful of fights here, but they're fighting for the vacant Namibian lightweight fight. Martin Haikalai, 2-4 versus Peter Blakeyan. There you go. Straight to Namibia. Don't miss it. I know you're going to be there.
I'm going to start off with my
And then there's another fight, one fight card in South Africa. So if you're in Africa, you've got two places. Namibia or South Africa. We have Patrick Malinga, 23-6 with 20 knockouts versus Bizolisi Yo-Yo. 11-2 with 8 knockouts. No, we got to see that fight. South African heavyweight. No, South African lightweight. Not a lie. This just might be the mismatch of the week right here. Spain. We're still not even to Saturday. There's a lot of fights all over the world here. Some interesting matchups. This has got to be the mismatch of the week right here. Jose Maria Guerrero. An 8-round super middleweight fight. He's 25-2 with one draw and lost one fight in his last, let's see, two, three, four, six, one in his last six. Carlos Montaigne. I switch the T to a D. Okay. His record is 2 wins with 1 knockout and 5 losses. 1 knockout loss and 1 draw. But he did win his last fight. So there's hope. Betting on them. And then we go to, let's see. We gotta go to the United Kingdom for a light heavyweight 12 rounder. 15-0, Nathan Cleverly, only got 5 knockouts at light heavyweight versus Billy Boyle, 12-1, 7 knockouts for the Commonwealth British Empire light heavyweight title. And now, oh, I spoke too soon. This match of the week. Guaranteed right here. 8x3 super featherweights. Kevin Mitchell, whopping 27-0 with 20 knockouts, fighting the formidable and dangerous Langway Wilson, 1-2. 1-2 versus 27-0. Forget about it. There's also a guy who's got an 11-43 record on that card. Then we go to Oliver McCall. That's my name.
Yes.
Not
Jacob.
Well, he has won his last 5 fights. He is 51-9, only been knocked out once. And he has 36 knockouts. He's fighting the ever dangerous John Holpoweight, who I'm sure you've heard of. All 11 wins come by knockout, and he's only got 2 losses.
Last week, actually. That's
one of
the guys that we're trying to
finish up
with Tommy Morrison.
Oh, okay. Well, guess what? Title is on the line here. The vacant International Boxing Association Intercontinental Heavyweight title. Now, is it international and intercontinental at the same time? It's pretty incredible. International Boxing Association Intercontinental Heavyweight title. And it's vacant, surprisingly. So, I don't know, that must mean that they just invented it. We'll have to ask John about that when we get on. But CES up here in New England is on the next item up for bids here. We have Twin River Event Center down in Lincoln, Rhode Island. It's got a great card here with Joey Spina. Is 24-1 with 17 knockouts and doing a lot better in his last few recent fights. So he's getting tested here versus Tawan Taylor, 26-14 with 19 knockouts. Been knocked out 9 of the 14 losses. One draw, has lost the last 3, though. So I don't know how much of a test it is, but I know Joey's been fighting kind of guys that aren't world-class folks, and I know I think he just switched out from the contender management to the CES. This is a new arena for him to experience, but also our 6-round middleweight fight. I don't know why there's 6 rounds. I think James McGirt Jr. has a bit more fights under his belt to be fighting a 6-round fight. Maybe it's for TV or something. Scheduling. 6-round middleweight. James McGirt Jr. 19-2 versus Patrick Perez, 25-5 with 14 knockouts. And James has 9 knockouts. And let's see, Willis Lockett of the guy we were just talking about a few weeks ago when we had your good buddy here. Chuck. Let's talk about Willis Lockett. And he's fighting Joe McCready, 10-2, 5 knockouts. Willis is 11 and 7. And of course, we didn't see Chuck on the ESPN Friday Night Fights, but it looks like he won the fight. I did check that out. He won by decision. Didn't show the scores when I checked it, though, so I don't know how widely.
I think scored just about every round.
So Carl Daniels is all washed up, or he's just that good and he can beat a world beater? They were talking about Johnson was like a world-class top 10 heavyweight. I was like, are you watching this fight? I'm watching, guys. I mean, come on. Guy is not the next Mike Tyson, right?
I mean, when Johnson came out there to do his job, I was really impressed.
He was fighting the guy who just refused to fight half the time. And you were surprised that he lasted the whole time. I give the guy one thing for credit. I mean, he did not want to give up. He just kept going, you know, just giving up whatever he had. I mean, he landed some good punches here and there. Kept trying. But, I mean, smart fighters just kind of know when they're beaten, you know? And there's nothing they can do, or, you know, it's time to change course. And he just kind of was the caveman type of fighter. Just go in there and just slug stupidly. I think maybe he had a strategy and some defense. Might have been a more even fight. I just didn't like the way he fought at all. It just didn't seem like he had any kind of strategy whatsoever. Walk into punches.
Yeah.
But anyway, I shouldn't talk. I have not fought pro myself, so I don't know. Anyway, ESPN Friday Night Fights this week, we have Richard Gutierrez, 24-2, versus Antoine Smith, 15-1. The main event is a welterweight fight. As we know, the welterweight division is the one to watch these days. Antoine Smith has won his last 5 fights. He's got 8 knockouts, 15 wins, only lost once by decision when he had a draw. And then we have Gutierrez. He's got 2 losses, 1 by knockout, draw, and he has lost his last fight. So, we'll see what happens there. We have an 8-round light middleweight fight between a 5-0 Aris Landy Lara and 3 knockouts versus Edward Vazquez, 22-13. 8 knockouts. He's only won 2 out of his last 6. And then we have fight on that card, Ed Paredes, 21-3 with 13 knockouts versus Gilbert Benigis, 10-6 with 7 knockouts. Sendrowski, 17-2 with 7 knockouts. It's an interesting fight.
not too loud, and something that we're now, we're not in this place. Chris Brown, that would be Tanner Carr Jr. is on that card. Tim Witherspoon Jr. is on that card.
Well, leave it to Mexico. Gotta go to Mexico. That's the best card of the century going on right here for the lighter guys down there in Mexico. See this one? Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. I never even heard of this. Or Promociones del Pueblo. We got some high caliber fighters. Crazy records. Top of this card. Rafael Marquez, 37-5, was the bantamweight, 33 knockouts versus Jose Francisco Mendoza, 21-2, 17 knockouts. Should be a great card. That's just a co-main event. The main event is another super bantamweight fight between Toshiaki Ishioka. We got the Japanese guy to come all the way to Mexico. And he's 33-4 with 20 knockouts. On his last six in a row, and at least I don't know. He's fighting Johnny Gonzalez, 46-34 knockouts. He's fighting six at least. This is for the WBC Super Bantamweight title down there in Mexico. That's not even half of his card. We have Javier Castro, 19-2, 17 knockouts at lightweight, another 12 rounder. He's fighting Guadalupe Gonzalez. 16 knockouts. And Francisco Arce, is he related to the other Arce?
Jorge, I'm not sure.
Jorge, 28-5 with two draws, 19 knockouts versus Victor Zaleta, 8-1 with five knockouts. A little bit of a mismatch. Then you have Christian Solano, 22-16 with 16 knockouts versus 11-0. Marcos Reyes, and a 19-1 Michael Medina in light middleweight versus Vladimir Hernandez, 15-1, 13 knockouts for Hernandez and 15 for Medina. And we have a lot of guys who look like they're related to other famous fighters. Arnold Gamboa, he's related to Yuri Orkus. He's fighting Alejandro Barrera, 9-0, 7 knockouts, and Gamboa is 4-6. He is related. He hasn't inherited his wrestling skill. So we have Juan Carlos Salgado rounding it out with 19-0 record. Juan Carlos Salgado? He's 19-0 with 13 knockouts. He's fighting Angel Reyna, 9-1 with 4 knockouts. And the 0-0 guy versus 1-2 guy, and 6 rounder. They're going to prove themselves before I read their names on our famous show. And then we got to go to the Philippines for the next fight worth mentioning. Chundi Marayon, 13-0 with 10 knockouts versus Anthony Matias, 23-11 with 11 knockouts for the WBO Asia Pacific Bantamweight title. And the Oriental Bantamweight title is on the line too. I'm not going to tell you who's fighting for it. You can find out for yourself. I'll be back here. Tucker versus a 1-0 fighter. There you go.
I'm looking this one up right now. I'm trying to see if I can reach July 25th.
What is July
25th? Well, I don't see it on BoxRec, but I saw it in Ring Magazine today. And this one looks fantastic. Southpaw is 25-0 with 25 knockouts. And he's quite better fighters,
Related to combat sports, but well, sometimes when you don't want to get arrested, you might have some combat with the police if you're trying to protest peacefully and they're trying to arrest you. But that's about it. My site's really not about starting riots. Doing it the smart way. There's one video I've got on there that's kind of interesting. It's always funny to see what they charge people with after they protest, you know, and they get arrested. Because it's never, like, you're never charged with protesting outright. That would be, like, unconstitutional. But it's always, like, trespassing or unlawful entry. And there's these guys from Greenpeace that got up on this huge scaffolding in Seattle or something, like a giant crane. And they, like, rappelled down off of it, and they were all professionals, I mean, super professionals. What they're doing, they had all the fancy gear. Not only were these guys up there, but like the president of the organization was up there with them. And they were protesting, and it like caused the whole city block to be walled off, and fire engines and everybody there, but they decided not to go up because they contacted the people, and the people contacted them. And by phone, the guy was up there on his cell phone telling them that, you know, at a certain time they were just going to come down on their own. You know, but they just wanted to be up there for a certain time when the cameras are going to be covering some World Trade Organization meeting or something. So that was kind of interesting. It's worth watching because that's, like I said, they were charged with some dinky little thing like unlawful entry That's what they were charged with. The only thing they were charged with. And I'm all for protest and everything, but I'm thinking, like, you know, it was like a real major delay. It's in the middle of the videos there on sucksite.com. It's called Banner Protest in Northwest. Check it out. But I think they could have caused it with disturbing the peace or causing an emergency situation. You could have thought something up better than unlawful entry for this going on property they weren't supposed to. But I guess they liked the idea. That was cool. Maybe the press for the police department made up for their having to be called to the scene. Because they didn't arrest them. But anyway, getting back to boxing, I did want to mention a couple more little tidbits here. We have another Jesus fight, by the way, on Saturday. I just forgot to mention. It's a featherweight fight down in Argentina. Jesus, Marcelo, and Reyes, voila, 7-0, with 6 knockouts versus Julio Cesar Ruiz, 10-2 with 2 knockouts. Man, I would love to hear Michael Buffer introduce him, huh? Jesus, Marcelo, Andres, voila. You know, he would, like, roll all the R's, too, of course. And say Jesus. That'd be fun. But, out in Nevada, we have an interesting fight. There's one fight in the States. On Sunday, Buffalo Bills Star Arena. Everybody's going to be there. In Prim, Nevada. Dimitri Salida, 29-0. One draw in the last fight, and 16 knockouts versus Raul Munoz, 2011 with 8 losses by knockout, and 15 knockouts in his own, one draw. And that's pretty much going on that card. I forget the one that's undecided for Munoz. But then we go to China on Tuesday. China, and I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Sox pitcher of the same team. And I don't know if this guy's from Japan too, but he probably is. 12-round flyweight fight in Shanghai. Look at these guys in Shanghai. Flyweight title, WBC flyweight title. Interestingly though. Daisuke Naito, 34-2, 22 knockouts versus Zhang Zhao Zhang, 12-1, 8 knockouts. And probably it's a big rivalry between the Japanese and the Chinese. I'm thinking if it goes to decision, the Chinese guys can win. But we'll see. We'll have to check back on that. And then we have a totally race appropriate title on the line. Third fight of the card, the WBC Asian Boxing Council Super Featherweight title between Jia Yu King, Queen, I don't know how you pronounce that, 11-4 with 4 knockouts, 2 knockout losses, and 2 draws, versus Yu Kachikawa, 7-6 versus, 7-6 with 3 knockouts. There is an interesting card. Spoke too soon there. On Wednesday, Australia. Australian main event. There's only one good card. A fight on the card. Everything else is good for you. But, we have Anthony Mundine, 35-3, with 23 knockouts, versus Daniel Heal, 21-0, with 13 knockouts. For the IBO, International Boxing Organization, middleweight title. 12-rounder. Everything else is 4 rounds on that card, so it's going to be the only one worth watching, probably. That's it. So you go to Thursday. We'll talk about Thursday next Thursday. That's a whole hell of a lot of boxing that we have to call. Where in the world is could have called him John Wilkinson, but he could be offended. We won't tell him, but... Well, did you watch any boxing this past weekend? While we're waiting? Very horrible. Wasn't a good fight on that card. didn't seem to be very well matched, and there was I think I put the after report out like 2 days late by accident too. So that's how exciting it was to me. I didn't mean to play my play. But it just so happens that the main event in that one was stopped because the guy got hit in the wrong place and got hit the ear or the neck or something. And he kept talking about his jaw and he stopped the fight and disqualified the guy. He like beat him in the head while he was on the ground. One of those things. And it just, I couldn't help but think of the first show XC. Not show XC, but the first Showtime Elite XC event. And the event there when Frank Shamrock got disqualified against Enzo Gracie for kneeing him in the head from the ground, laying on his back, or hitting him in the back of the head or something. At some point, it was something in the back of the head. And then, I mean, Enzo didn't even look hurt. He just kind of looked like he was faking it. I hate to say that about any fighter who used to fake it. You never know, but that was kind of a tough fight, of course. Qualification. You'd do it if you could. It looked like a hard enough hit. I mean, it was. He did get hit a few good hard times. But, you know, of course he exaggerated a little bit if he can.
I'll tell you one about my favorite offense question of that.
The offense was interesting. Clearly playing against the Hankles in their second fight. And Hopkins was beating pretty easily. He was getting pissed off. He beat the referee every other second. And then finally, Hopkins had a beautifully around takedown, like a bit about wrestling boxing. And Hopkins on his shoulder. And Hopkins dislocated his right shoulder. And the referee and the doctor came in the ring and they were saying that they're going to stop this fight. You're going to win by disqualification. Hopkins said, no, you can't hit my shoulder like that. But I said, no, you're going to win. Just now I'm going to keep fighting. And for one more round, he can always use his left hand. He got an echo for one hand. And he was able to keep using his right arm back again. And he was pissed. Without Hopkins, he's pissed. It's not a pretty thing. He pulled a mental part. And that was no time left to look away and said something to the referee to push again. Hopkins punched him right in the mouth.
Showbox every now and then. It's guys you never heard of. You know, they just follow certain guys and they build that name and they always have those certain guys. You know? And Strikeforce, I don't think is that big enough, but interestingly enough, Andre Arlovsky has decided to fight Brett Rogers at the next big plane. Strikeforce, Challengers. Showtime pay-per-view card, boxing, and the showbox thing. We have the Challenger series, the actual Strikeforce thing. The next one, Andrei Arlovsky, of course, now most famous recently for getting clobbered by Fedor Emelianenko after Freddie Roach worked with him on his boxing, and he looked pretty good the first beginning. Fedor just came out of nowhere with his huge Russian haymaker. And the story, Arlovsky, was funny. I haven't utilized it, but I caught the line of seagulls on a beach somewhere. And there's Arlovsky laying on the ground knocking a fence in the middle of the pack. Like a washed up seal. But he is coming over to Strike Force now, so I don't know what that says about Affliction. You know, I haven't heard a word about them, and of course, last I heard about Trump was in, he was having issues with some casino bankrupting or resort somewhere. And of course, he's got the Apprentice, and that's doing well, and he's got his real estate, and even in the bad economy, you know, he's still got high net worth, of course, and probably money in the bank. But I haven't seen much of anything about Affliction's next event, or what's going on, or how they're going to compete. And I kind of would like to see now that Strike Force has so got their niche. I'd like to see the Affliction just kind of join forces or something, or just collaborate and become one. Figure out how to make it work. And I think that's the only way you're going to have a force big enough to say to the UFC, it's time for you guys to go to vote too, you know, let's have the best fight the best. See what happens.
Speaking of UFC, that getting scrolled out, did you see the commercial of the latest UFC video game to come out?
Cool, but I did talk about that, I think, at the end of the show last week. I caught Dana White was on Jimmy Fallon, late night with Jimmy Fallon last night. And also Mike Tyson was on Jimmy Kimmel live. So Jimmy came through for the combat sports on late night last night, if you were up, and I was. And Tyson was very funny. He's a different guy. He's mellowed out. He talked about everything. He talked about biting Holyfield. He talked about rehab. Jimmy kind of didn't pull any punches. Pun intended. And Tyson just kind of was off the cuff. He's very mellowed out. He's just kind of soft in his old age in more ways than one. He's got the big belly, of course, now. He's obviously not making a comeback anytime soon. He's not going to do that. He's moved beyond that whole subject. And if you ever do watch that Tyson documentary, you'll kind of understand why, but it's just interesting to see him now, and just the way he's so much more willing to open himself up to the public eye when back in the day when he was mobbed by the cameras, he started to develop a snotty reaction every time that he didn't like it when he was being followed and throwing rocks at the camera as well. He was trying to run, and slapping photographers. I mean, you name it, he was doing it. And now he's embracing the spotlight, probably because he needs money. Also, I think he just has an inherent need to tell his story, and the people want to hear it, I think, because obviously you and I talk about him all the time still to this day, and how we need another Tyson. Especially an American fighter like Tyson. Never mind some guy from overseas. I mean, even one from over there would be nice, but of course, we'd rather have one from our country. But anyway, make a long story short, Tyson was talking about just about everything. And, he talked about what was probably the funniest part. His initial plan for his tattoo was to get hearts all around his eyes. Little hearts all around both eyes. And it was funny, Jimmy got him to admit that when he thought of that idea, he was a little drunk. And so he was like, yeah, then I saw this tribal tattoo, and I was hooked on one of that. Changed my mind. So, little known facts about Mike Tyson. Almost got hearts tattooed around his eyes. But, and then Dana White was on Jimmy Kimmel, but I don't know, I'm not a big believer in Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon, sorry. Jimmy Fallon. I like Jimmy Kimmel, I think he's funny, but He gets a lot of flack. A lot of people, like, especially in those roasts on Comedy Central. Have you ever watched those? Jimmy Kimmel, man. Everybody calls him unfunny. But I think he's pretty funny. But he's like the butt of all their jokes. Everybody rails against him. But Jimmy Fallon, he's good on Saturday Night Live. Don't get me wrong. But in his own show, it just comes across a lot of times as too corny and stupid. Like he's trying too hard. And maybe that will get better with age. Experience, but he had Dana White on, and all he did was stand in front of a heavy bag and have Dana White talk about 20 seconds about the actual UFC and how he started it with the Fertitta brothers. And then it was all about the game and teaching Jimmy how to box. So that was kind of funny. Because they had boxing gloves and everything, and he only kicked the bag a few times. Dana was really only a boxing coach, even though he doesn't know a little jiu-jitsu, I guess. He was only ever a boxing coach. He's never been a jiu-jitsu coach, as far as I know. So he wasn't really instructing him on how to kick. Jimmy was just kicking on his own. And then the only good part about the whole sketch, the whole interview and stuff, was that you got to see the screenshots from the game, of course, and it was funny seeing Jimmy Fallon box and kick. Because he wears like a full suit on the show, and he was kind of joking about that, and that was really the only funny part of the entire show, sad to say, in my opinion. But that was last night for late night, and I kind of got spoiled that I caught that. Also, the Red Sox had a great game last night. I don't know if you saw that, but Big Poppy finally hit his first home run.
Speaking of the Red Sox, I've got a joke for you. I'm not a big fan. You know about my place for the Red Sox player named Jason Benny?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
Right, he's one of the five home runs in one inning, I
believe, with Big Bobby. Yeah. Well, Jason Benny is on my fantasy team. I have two Red Sox on my team. I have Jason Benny and I have Josh Beckett.
rows of seats at least to get out to the street. funny. I wish somebody had an alarm. That would have been sweet. We hit the car and the alarm went off and we could laugh. That would have been perfect.
Golf.
Well, I've always liked George Carlin's interpretation of golf. He said the other. The funniest part was he was like, you know what, think about all the land, the useless land, taking out like golf courses. Why don't they take out that land and build low income housing on all of it? It'll happen eventually anyway. You know, there's going to be so many people in this country eventually, they're going to be building on every square inch. Probably won't live that long, but maybe we'll be refrozen and brought back to life to see that someday. We'll see. Are you going to be cryogenically frozen?
Sure. I might
be. Why not? Vic Williams did it. Why can't I? I think only his head did. That'd be funny.
If people start to come back and annoy people, I'll do.
Alright, well, speaking of annoying people, let's call John.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't even answer that. Oh, yeah, I think he's back out. Hey, John.
Hi, how's this?
How's it going? It's Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
I thought you were going to call me on Tuesday.
Well, we're on here, recording the show here. I emailed you a couple times today. But it's just,
Organizations started popping up. And to name them, you have the IBO, which is a strong organization. You have the IBP, move, that does not move. I mean, not the IPC, but the IPC, that's the WDD, that's the WDF, that's the WAA, which is Child Rights Organization.
World Alcoholics Anonymous? World Alcoholics Anonymous? WAA? Not a good boxing league. Well, Tony and I joke a lot about that because we look at the BoxRec schedule every week and we always find a laughable example of somebody fighting for some kind of title that either just sounds funny or it's in the wrong denomination, like a couple of American guys fighting for an Asian title or something like that. This week we found one that was an international WB something intercontinental, and it was a vacant title. Not surprising.
Well,
they just invented it.
That's not the problem with boxing. We're going to have a state championships. We're going to have national championships. We're going to have seven USA championships. That's okay with the boxing.
What is an international intercontinental?
It's a continental title. That is not what's hurting boxing. What's hurting boxing is that there is no line drawn between the echelons of boxing. So what I'm doing is, I'm saying, okay, we're drawing a line between the first echelon and the second echelon. And the first echelon is very important to recognize as first echelon, meaning the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, they recognize the WBO as the first echelon title. And the IBO and the second echelon. Now, I'm not against second echelon title, but I think it's good for boxing. And if somebody wants to get into the sport of boxing, it's a second, buying a second echelon organization and putting their hand in the glove to it. I think we should have truth in advertising, and that should be that the second echelon titles, all of them, the other second echelon world titles. And, if you're going to be making an organization like I have, you have to come with some kind of philosophy and reasoning that brings everything together to make it work. And my reasoning is that first rule of thumb is that the first and second echelon should mix. Like right now, Vladimir Klitschko is mixing the IBO title with the IBF and the WBO title, and I think you should give up the IBO title. Just let that be. Let that go to someone else, and they can box for that title, recognized as a second echelon world title. It's not
that kind of sounds a little like title belt racism to me.
Well, talk about that just playing. The IBO is they're a strong organization that good ratings, but they're Johnny Comeroy. And the line has to be drawn someplace, and definitely just if you read the line of the publishers of any magazine, they've been so fed up with this, they've thrown all of the organizations into trash, all of them. They all recognize team are champions now, and that's not how to fix boxing either. I think you should recognize those established organizations. Just do have to draw the line someplace between the organizations, and that's what you do. That's the way you handle it.
So, one thing that's really confused me over the last years, and this was started by WBA, only for the reason of them trying to look money out of the fighters, is when they determine somebody as super champion. I mean, I feel that's almost an insult to the people that are going to be fighting what becomes a big hit title.
That is something that is sounds far-fetched, but you can't make the rules unless you're in the driver's seat. So if the WBC and the WBO or any of the organizations that get in the way with pronouncing someone like a world champion, super champion, we can talk to them and try to get them to change their mind about doing that. I don't agree with that either. But some of the things, unless you're in the driver's seat yourself, you're probably not going to be able to change that. I mean,
we're just going to have to live with it. If there are no real terms within the time, he would be a good example of someone that should be a super champion because I'm so untouchable.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm kind of asking a dumb question here, but I'm wondering, what is considered the undisputed champion these days? How many belts do you have to have?
The undisputed champion was like what Bill Campbell did not too long ago. Brought all the belts together, that's not undisputed champion.
But, I mean, how many, is that pretty much along the lines of where you want to split it, or is that a little different? What is considered traditionally the undisputed champion?
I'm drawing the line between those four organizations and all the others. So,
you know,
it's a champion.
You have
those four belts.
That's what I think it would be good for, but I'm asking, like, what is it now? What is the standard now? Does anybody know?
No.
Or is that just the problem?
That's what they're talking about. You know,
fight, and I just could not believe how many punches he took to the head.
Style-wise, Vitaly is a better fighter. He's got a better chin.
Trent think? Vladimir is a cautious boxer. Vitaly is a fighter's fighter.
Yeah, well, Vladimir is a stronger champion. But,
I mean, to look back at Vladimir's history, I mean, they were telling him to retire. He was going through a series of catastrophes. You know this, right?
I mean,
yeah. His history is good. Everyone could climb the ladder and say he's become a high level champion. He has really. The top is very open. I mean, it's hard to really measure Vladimir's talent. Boxing in the USA, amateur pro, and it's been kind of a dark blog site for a long time, since it got started, but it might be starting to come alive now, and I didn't start the blog site, and I got the blog site from someone else, and I'm trying to like spark some faith on that blog site about blocking, also about politics, and a little bit about it.
Wow, they all go hand in hand. I mean, all that stuff goes hand in hand, and it's funny how people don't think that same stuff crosses over into mixed martial arts. You know, they think that Martinez and Dana White are these angels brought this great sport to existence, but there's some scumbags involved. I got a whole website about it. I got sued for $25 million by those guys. I know that whole story, but if you look up my name, that's the first thing that pops up.
Okay, I will.
And there's a lawsuit that's ongoing. I'm sort of winning right now. It's in bankruptcy, and I predicted that they were going to go bankruptcy. Some guy, Zach Arnold, I'm sure you heard of him, from FightOpinion.com, he wrote an article that called me Nostradamus one time. No shit. And it's been a saga. It's almost 2 years now. The whole litigation's been going on. They sued me for defamation. Did no case. And all the people changed. The company changed hands 6 ways to Sunday. The UFC people came in and tried to pretend like they were going to bail it out, and then they destroyed it and went into bankruptcy. And they're doing the same thing with their casinos. And these guys, the worst thing is they're connected to old school mobsters. The movie Casino is based on his brother's father, Frank Fertitta Jr. That whole counting room, that's his operation. Frank Jr.'s operation to a T. That's in the book by Mario Puzo that the movie's based on. It's just a lot of true story stuff in there. Of course, you know, every true story that goes to the screen gets embellished, you know, but those characters are based on those guys.
Marcel and MMA, like, personally, I have no interest in that field at all, but I did write a letter to that heavyweight UFC heavyweight champion. If I have his name, I'll remember it again.
Fighting for championship belts.
Well, we welcome the mail, and we welcome the
series on the debate of boxing versus MMA, and, you know, which one's better, how do they work together, how do they work against each other, you know, all kinds of experts, and people fighting it out on both sides. And Tony was in the debates, and we met everybody.
That was my first appearance on the show.
Yeah, we even had a guy from Tokyo.
Sometimes a lot, but he received a lot of flack.
Yeah, me about that because of those independents that fire. That's not right.
Yeah,
what
I found striking in that whole scenario was that there was no real immediate explanation straight from Margarito. I mean, maybe it was his lawyer.
He shouldn't be arrested.
How come we still had any explanation from him? He hasn't spoken really a word about it, trying to say that it was innocent.
The coroner was put into doubt. The coroner was put into doubt because of that.
Properly, just with without the gauze and the tape and all that. I mean, just talking regular hand wraps. Those that even if those hand wraps are a little wet or they got a little hardness to them, they're gonna hurt more when you hit somebody with gauze. Even if you put two layers of wraps on, it's gonna make a difference. And they're not hard.
The big irony about the whole thing is the trainer that. Shane Mosley, they caught it, was Steve Livingston, who was one of Bernard Hopkins' long-time trainer. He's also the trainer that caught Phil Chernak using the illegal wraps back in 2001. And the one comment out of a Margarita's camp is when Steve Richardson checked the wraps, he said, wait a minute, these are illegal. He goes, I can feel, hardness, calcification under, these knuckles. The guy looked at him and goes, oh, we could have expected this out of you. He says, well, I can expect you to do it the legal way. So if you can do the same way, because I'm going to make a mistake if you're doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Now, you have to realize the boxer is immune to it. Boxer is always immune to it. So, we're sorry, man. And then I want to say with some people who have suffered and there's some stuff to do, we're all good. But we're not more names of boxing. That's what boxing is all about.
And the match player. I like to see
that. The match
player is Chad Dawson go to.
Yeah.
Go to
the
match. I would have a nice
one. I don't know. I think Bernard is going to just be a host. Probably going to go back and forth.
Well, he's still got to tell it.
Well, I just want to go out with a win and just be done with it. You know? Especially if he's already got a gig waiting for him over there at ESPN whenever he wants it. I think he's just going to let it go. And if the money's right, if he gets tens of millions thrown at him, maybe he'll come back. But I think he's going to wait a little while.
And now that the Pavlik Mortal fight is off for June, now that it's all right, maybe there is a chance they can sign that one for the Bulls. They forget about that was just a TV fight issue. Well, again, get the real hitters in there again. Pavlik and Abraham. Those are two power couples.
Very interesting.
I was reading, but he's almost the same size as maybe bigger. What, about 6'7", 260?
Wow, that would be a nice meeting with him. And, we've got that group fighter on the horizon, and we're just, Mel McCoy, not too long ago. I mean, the kind of guy.
Sure.
We're excited about it.
Been around boxing since he was 7 years old. Then he got away from it. He was in high school and he
post, and it's refreshing to see a guy like that saying, you know, I mean, I was watching the fight the other night for California, and I can just sit in the front row. I'm like, here's a guy that loves 16, that doesn't love to go out there and do it for the money. Well, there's the game. For a guy like that.
This bothered me whenever accepted him as a challenge immediately, but I think the bothered me will crush him if he took him right away, if he took him more time to see him. If he took him right away.
I think that was smart for him, too, to take him right away.
So, okay, let's go right now.
Size and the strength advantage.
but in terms of style together, Hopkins, if you look at his career, has always done the best against the guys that have always done it straightforward. He was Trinidad, Glenn Johnson, Antonio Tarvers, Antoine Edwards, all guys that keep shooting, looking to make Joe and Jindal the two-way brawl. And Kelly Pavlik, another example, working on angles and top shot the whole time. And first of all, Adam X all motions, when you be anyone enough to hurt him, and when you be able to keep off for 12 rounds, I mean, I thought it was an excellent fight, but unfortunately, he fell through. And now it's spread to 40 generals, signed the other fight, Jeff Lacy.
Which, what about Jeff Lacy?
Jeff Lacy signed a contract to fight.
No date yet?
Roy Jones Jr.
Huh? Roy
Jones Jr. Roy Jones, that's Jeff Lacy?
Yeah, I just read it, just saw it.
No, that's not all. I sound like I'm trying to make sure. Thomas Adam might look himself in the mirror and ask himself, what about Champ Dawson?
There's no reason for him to.
Looking for the perfect punch. You've got a guy hurt like that, his crotch was hurt, you
you got to start firing, some shots at him. I mean, it could force him up to be an early stoppage. But you got to know that you got to know.
Kevin comes from Libertarian.
I mean, he just doesn't have that fire when he got hurt. Now, if Kevin Havlicek drops down like that, he would have went and for broke him to knock him out.
Oh, yeah. And here it comes down to Little Trainer. So, I guess the consensus of the group is the greatest trainer in the world is Kevin Lynch.
Yeah, I'll
say that.
That's right.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really like about Chris Rutherford is he's a very compassionate guy. He's one of his coach, he was his mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just a great trainer, but he was a gentleman. Eddie Funch is one of the greatest trainers ever. And he was a gentleman. The perfect example was when he stopped fighting the villain between Frazier and Ali. Frazier was getting a lot of punishment in his health with Jeffrey. His eyes were small and shot him in the middle. And he said, tell the son, like, sit down. Nobody will forget what you've done. And the joke I said to Rich about 3 weeks ago was, if Floyd Mayweather Sr. was working for his daughter, he yelled at him, called him a bum, and then called Ali a bum, too.
Goodness.
That's what the Mayweather would have said that, and he was working for his daughter in Manila.
And we're saying when he ran at that.
Yeah, what he would have thought.
Yeah, Tony likes, Tony's got a whole series that he put together called the Fantasy Dream Fight.
He's not a bad trainer.
I know Steve.
Steve had graduated before I did, but he read a read. He didn't grab me my points, just a couple of my points.
When I finished the matter of complete, down in my eyes, back in kind of like examining his career. That would be something that would be a nice spotlight for you guys to note, you know. So I'm just, I don't know if you're taking notes there or not, but probably got it in your pod, what we're talking about today. So when we have all the pod,
and I have the name written down, he's like, the question that he's going to want to get it, so I was going to do that.
Another good name is Sean Fitzgerald up on Worcester, Mass. I'm into that mess of red collar boxing gym. I'm not into red collar boxing, but as a former pro, made with brother Duran and Duran's Deprime, who was undefeated in 17 fights when he met Duran. He could also fight down to Rosenberg. There's only two losses in the coach.
He's so dangerous.
Yeah, I love him. Sean Fitzgerald?
No, Dana. He ain't so dangerous.
Yeah, he's Pat the End on our show back in August.
Oh, look who's calling him Pat the End now.
Some friends, you can take it right about it. Well, he's going to be dangerous. Dangerous.
He's a douchebag. That's what Vinny said.
That's what Vinny said. That's what Vinny said.
Did he work for Freddie Mac? Twitter page.
No, I don't. setting up on me?
Uh-huh.
Is that the people Wilkinson?
Wilkinson. I'm out there. So, you listen to boxing at hotmail.com.
So I have you welcome to jthompson@mail.com.
Yeah. also a couple of guys familiar to us, Sean Sherrick and Frank Hicker. Sherrick we had on just a few weeks ago, and he talked about this fight. I told him that I had seen Edgar there at USC 78 down there in his home state of New Jersey. And Frankie's nickname is The Answer. The record's 9-1, and Sean Sherrick 37-3 in one tie. And it's just one of those fights that Sherrick's got on his agenda, trying to get that title back that he lost a while ago. And we wish him the best in that fight. I know Frankie's a great wrestler, but I think Sherrick's a little better, so Edgar's going to have to bring a lot to beat him. And we also have Brock Larson versus Chris Wilson. Brock is 26-2. Chris Wilson is 13-5. Pat Barry, 4-0, versus Tim Hague, 9-1. Philip Nova versus Kyle Bradley. Christoph Sosnitsky versus Andre Guzmeo. Yoshida versus Brandon Wolf. George Roop versus David Kaplan. Comes it out and watching it for free as always. So I think I will be doing a play-by-play at some point or report. And I won't forget the names like MMA reports I did tonight. Sorry, folks. A long day. But anyway, that about does it for all the combat sports stuff I have right in front of me here. I also wanted to do something different this week and go beyond MMA Madness. Actually, I'm going to skip MMA Madness altogether. I'm going to go right to the personal source, Facebook. My Facebook events, I've got to put them to good use. So I'm friends with like every single fight organization fan page there is. I know I got a lot of event invitations for stuff coming up in MMA. So we'll just check those out, run down those real quick. I think I got about 8 of them here. MFC XC, an assassin fightwear presents UFC 98 at the Bank Ultra Lounge on Saturday. It's in Edmonton, Alberta. If you want to check that out, a little party. But, an actual fighting championships event, Continental Fighting Championship battle in the Battlefords in North Battleford, Agraville, whatever that is, in Saskatoon, SK, which I'm pretty sure it's Saskatchewan. I get a lot of Canadian stuff on this page for some reason. Then we have the MMA Expo in Toronto. That's going on June 6th and 10th. The Continental Fighting Championship says June 20th, Saturday, June 20th. And then we have Rough Justice, F times 310. It's June 13th at 5 p.m. at York Hall. And I'm thinking York Hall's in London. Let's check this real quick. York Hall, London, yes. And more boxing stuff there. No, this is Extreme Combat FX3. I'm sorry, I'm not reading this fighting because they don't do that very well on Facebook. They don't tell you too much about the fighters. Then we have way down in September, they're already promoting this Extreme Brawl Fighting Championship at the Radisson Edwardian Hotel. That's at Heathrow, United Kingdom. That's where the airport is, probably. Let's see. Kickboxing. MMA and K1 kickboxing on that event. That should be interesting. That's it. That's all I got. Any final words there, Tony?
I don't
had ammunition. Burn it all up, go to the boxing game.
No, I was about to tell you and John to get a room. Right. Definitely behind the times with the technology, though. Not checking his email. It's a little antiquated nowadays, but each his own. He gets by that way. More power to him. Me, I don't know. I can't get off without, can't get away without being near my computer at least a couple hours of the day. I get antsy. I can't check my email. But, as far as combat sports, I think we've been about wiped the slate clean here. Done about just about everything I can do here. We've got about 2.5 hours already, so it'd be a lot better to be sticking here and us. We're going to broadcast this at 11 o'clock every Thursday night from now on at Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be linking this up to the blog. And also, we're going to be still searching for a new live venue to go through because, as we all know, now live sucks. But that's another story. That's it for me. Signing out. And we'll see you next week with maybe Mickey Ward. We'll work on that.
Awesome.
I'm going to spoil you with boxing guests for the next week. Maybe two in a row. Like
all right. Well, until then, let me do a save up for ammunition for next week.